Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. We have a topic today that I believe should be a challenge to every Christian in particular, if you're listening today. I pray that it will be a challenge, a blessing, inspiration in your heart and life. We're going to be talking about today theological biblical anemia. That doesn't sound like a positive statement, does it? Doctrinal, theological, biblical anemia. That's a big subject. We're going to try to fit it into this broadcast today that will be a benefit and a blessing to each of us. I have with me today Pastor Glenn Davis. Brother Davis and I are going to be talking about this together, and I pray that it will be a challenge to you, inspiration, encouragement. It calls you to dig deeper in the Word of God, to study the Word, to know the Word, to allow the Word of God to permeate your heart. And that's where we are in society today that is so sad as we look at it. We're in a declension. We are in that time of apostasy. And we'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And that's the Bible. That's the book that we need to turn to. It was Jesus in John 8, 31 and 32 that said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus talks about truth in John 14, 6. Jesus himself said, "I am truth." Jesus is the Logos of God, the Word of God. And so Jesus says in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." And so it's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that I commend to you today. It was the secularist many years ago, George Orwell, that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that looming before us every day, especially in the Beltway in Washington. In fact, I've said a number of times, I don't even believe they can spell truth up there.
Amen.
I don't believe they would know truth or recognize truth either side of the aisle if it slapped them in the face, and we, the people, suffer as a result of it. Let me read you his statement again. "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." But it's the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made a dogmatic statement that I believe should be our flagship statement in relationship to what we do as Christians. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And I think that is the thing that we need to do as Christians today, Brother Davis. Seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth. By the way, if you want to find truth, you don't need to turn television on, generally speaking, MSNBC, and the Communist Network News, CNN, and many of the others. And it's growing more and more that way with the Fox News. They want to be fair and balanced so much that they have some of the most egregious statements and comments made by people that are trying to divide us and destroy us as a nation. But nevertheless, it's supposed to be a source for fair and balanced news, as they call it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power dealership that specializes in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowners brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. They have the full line of Honda generators. They have a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power generation backup. as well as landscape lawn care equipment for the homeowner, as well as for the professional. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Someone on one occasion said, well, how do you find it? You locate the gigantic flagpole, 165-foot flagpole, at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It has Old Glory, the American flag flying 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the latest reports, surveys on religion, one of the latest reports on that says that 52% of Americans do not believe that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. 52%. Now, we could say that America is a Christian nation, and that's a good statement because we were birthed as a Christian nation. But Brother Davis, I'm concerned about whether we could be called a Christian nation today or not.
Amen. It's
because
a big question.
Have, if you got 52% of the people that disbelieve that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, may I be bold enough to say it's an impossibility for a human being, for an individual, to say I am saved and yet disavow, disbelieve that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh.
Amen.
But 52% of Americans say that Jesus Christ is not God come in the flesh. They say he's a good person, a good teacher, but that he is not God incarnate. That number is bad enough, but ladies and gentlemen, even the so-called believers, 30% disbelieve that Jesus is God come into flesh. Here's the article. 30% of American, 30% of U.S. evangelicals do not believe that Jesus is God, according to the survey. Evangelicals are sadly drifting away from God's absolute standard in Scripture. According to the preliminary release of the findings of the 2020 State of Theology Survey, 52% of American adults believe that Jesus was simply a great teacher, but he was not God. Among those surveyed identified as evangelicals, 30% agree that Jesus was merely a great teacher, a good man. Nearly 65% still agree with that statement. Jesus, this statement, now listen, 65% say that Jesus was the first and greatest created being of God.
My, my.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is not a created being. That comes right out of Jehovah's Witness false theology and multitudes of others. Jesus Christ is not created. Jesus Christ is the creator. When you look at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. When you look at Colossians 1, Ephesians chapter 1, you find that Jesus Christ is in the heavens. He's already prepared the place for us. You realize that according to the Bible, New Testament teaching, that Jesus Christ created all things, whether visible or invisible, whether in heaven or on earth, under the earth, or that which is seen or not seen. Jesus Christ is God. He is part of the triune Godhead. The Scripture says that he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But yet we find that this is the case today. And further in this article, it says evangelicals are sadly drifting away from God's absolute standard. Listen to what this writer says, according to the survey. Statistics like these can give us a quick shock, but they also shed light on the concerns that many American Christians and churches have expressed for decades. As the culture around us increasingly abandons the moral compass, professing evangelicals are sadly drifting away from God's absolute standard in the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any, how would you say, any greater statement to be made that should get the attention of Americans, especially as pastors and Christians, than that statement. The question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Are you solidly rooted in the Word of God? Are you rooted and grounded and built up, as the Scripture calls it, in the Word of God? As you're listening today, can you identify authors of the books of the Bible? How many books in the Bible? When was it written? How many years was it written over? Who were the authors? Why did they write it? What's the theme? Who were they writing to? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know the chronology of the Bible? Do you understand what the Word of God is saying? I'm not asking, ladies and gentlemen, do you know John 3:16? I'm asking, do you understand why God has given us such a large book called the Bible?
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the way I've stated it, and Brother Davis and I will be talking about that this very factor in a moment about several scriptures that are very poignant and pointed and personal and should be personal to every listener under the sound of my voice today. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, what causes this staggering unbelief? What is the cause, the fundamental, rudimentary, elemental cause of this unbelief among the general populace and especially among those that say they're saved? Why do so many church members across all denominational lines reject the deity of Christ? Why do so many today disbelieve in the written, revealed, inspired Word of God? I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's because of what I call milquetoast, watered-down, cotton candy theology that's preached from the pulpits.
Amen.
Pastor
Amen.
Davis, does that sound right?
It sounds it's hitting the nail right on the head, Dr. Youngblood, because I have to question pastors and others who say that they have been filled with the Spirit of God if they turn around and deny that Jesus is even the Son of God.
Yes.
Because the scripture lets us know that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit.
That's right.
That we are the sons of God.
Yes.
So now, okay, how can you bear witness to Jesus being the Son of God without the Spirit of God being down on the inside? So therefore, I'm saying there must be a void right there.
That's right.
And evidently, John, you don't have the Spirit.
Yes,
amen.
And that First John text that you just recited, it's talking about that very fact, because many had left the church, left them, because they were not part of them.
Amen.
And that was revealed because they were not filled with the Spirit. They were not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And that's
amen.
What the Scripture is talking about, ladies and gentlemen. But amen. We live in a society today, Pastor, that I like to use the term anemic. This is the reason I've titled this issue today, Theological Biblical Anemia. Anemia. And when you investigate the word anemia in a dictionary or a thesaurus, or you look at it on the basis of what does anemia mean, anemia, when you investigate it, talking about physical anemia now. Physical anemia is when you investigate the cause of that physical anemia, you discover that it is due to the lack of oxygen to the brain. If I can pause for just a minute, ladies and gentlemen, I was talking with Brother Davis before we went on the air. And anemia is caused by a lack, L-A-C-K, of oxygen to the brain. And yet we're in this forced sense today that you must wear a mask. And if you wear a mask, it's going to reduce oxygen between 20 and 40%. It can cause one to literally pass out for not having enough oxygen to the brain. It's having the physical anemia because of a lack of oxygen. And that lack of oxygen, which is vital for thinking, it is vital for agility, it's vital for processing information. So, ladies and gentlemen, if the oxygen is that which is needed physically, what about the oxygen, theologically speaking, that is the knowledge of God's Word?
Amen.
It is the Bible, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, which is the source book of truth for every one of us. It is the source book of truth.
Amen.
There's
it
no real truth outside the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
So we need to study the Word, know the Word, learn the Word, live the Word, as Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, said. And we need to defend the truth of the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that gives us the insight and the wisdom that God would have us to have to know what to do in serving Him. But unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, most believers today want only the good feel, the goosebump theology, as I call it. And I ask the question, why is that so? Simply because real biblical preaching, real biblical teaching from the pulpit causes conviction of sin. And ladies and gentlemen, you perhaps have been there. If you're sitting in the pew, the pastor's really preaching, teaching, exegeting, expositorily preaching the Word of God, it's going to bring about a sense of discomfort because of known, unconfessed, unforgiven sin. And Pastor Davis, I found when a person is convicted of sin, they want to choke, die, crawl under the pew, get out, or something. And many times they won't even come back as a result of being convicted of sin.
Amen.
And
Amen.
The reason for that is they don't want to be told they're a sinner. People don't want to be told that they're wrong. Perhaps you fall in that category. I don't know. But as Bill Hybels, some 35, 40 years ago, that started the Willow Creek Ministries up in Illinois, and some 20 years later, of course, Hybels is no longer the pastor there. It was an unfortunate event that took place, and I'll not get into the details of it. He's no longer pastoring. But nevertheless, after 20 years of teaching goosebump theology, cotton candy theology. After 20 years of teaching surface rather than the depth of the Word of God, teaching the milk of the Word rather than the meat of the Word, he wrote a book or had a major article in his magazine, I believe it was, that said, "We were wrong. We were wrong." He said, "From now on, we'll teach the truth of the Word of God," because they'd simply been teaching the goosebump theology, cotton candy theology. You might say, "What is goosebump theology?" It makes you feel good, but it's not beneficial. Cotton candy theology looks good and tastes good, but it's not filling.
Amen.
And I've lumped them all together, Pastor Davis, and I've started calling them voodoo theology, because it's a juxtaposition of all that the world has to offer, but not founded in the Word of God.
That's right.
But ladies and gentlemen, going back to Bill Hybels and what he had done in that relationship, before they started that so-called ministry, Willow Creek Ministries, and they had a, I don't know what they've got now, but they had a 157-acre campus, and he bragged about the fact, "We have no cross any place in the building, don't have any scriptures written and on plaques in the wall, don't have any images of Jesus," whatever that would be, that he said, "We don't want anybody to walk through the hallways of our facilities and feel guilty about being there, so we just simply, it looks like an office park, a professional building, and not a church building," he said. Why did they do that? Because they sent out about 30,000 survey cards to the general public. What kind of ministry do you want? And the about 3,000 of them, about a tenth of them came back, said, "We do not want to hear the slaughterhouse religion." In other words, don't preach the blood of Christ. "We do not want anything more than 15 minutes. We do not want to be told that we're sinners," et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Bill Hybels developed the ministry around that lack of theological, doctrinal, biblical truth. As a result of that, they had hundreds of thousands of people that tuned in and dropped out eventually, multitudes of those that were there for years and years and years. They were never trained in the Word of God. So it's easy to fall for any false theology if you're not trained in the Word of God. And perhaps you're listening today, and you're a pastor, preacher, teacher, evangelist, missionary, but you've not been trained in the Word of God. We're going to talk about that and tell you how you can be during the course of this broadcast today. But we're talking about the fact, Pastor Davis, that it's because of a lack of real biblical preaching that needs to be taught in the pulpits in the United States of America. Here's a brief overview, Pastor Davis, that I want us to think about before we get into our text and our scripture for our dialogue and discussion. Gallup poll, for example, George Gallup and his research, been doing that for about 30, 35 years, probably the most renowned in America for analyzing religion in America. He said just 24% believe that the Bible should be taken literally. 24% believe that the Bible should be taken literally. Also, multitudes of Americans believe that the Bible is no more than just simply a book of fables. He says the vast majority of the so-called Christians do not hold a biblical worldview. He says only 17% of Christians hold a biblical worldview. Now, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you ask the question, what is a biblical worldview? Someone asked me the question a number of years ago, said, "Are you an Arminian or are you a Calvinist?" And I said, "Neither." They said, "Well, what are you? Like, you've got to be odd if you're not one of those." I said, "I'm a central Biblicist." They said, "Well, what in the world does that mean?" I said, "I just simply be what the Bible says. It's not a matter of me following the dogma of John Calvin or Jacob's Arminius as to what he thought. Both of them had some good thoughts, but both of them were wrong theologically. But central Biblicist simply means I take what the Word of God says in context without any reservation. What does the Word of God say? George Barna report also says 64% of Christians believe strongly that God accepts worship of all religions, including Islam.
My.
And that is a sad, sad commentary
it
for Christians
is.
And for the church today, Pastor Davis. The George Barna report also says more than 70% of evangelicals believe that Jesus is a created being, the first of the created beings. Only 40% believe that hell is a real place of torment and judgment. Only 4%, here's where the real sadness comes in, Pastor. Only 4% of millennials hold a biblical worldview. And out of that 4%, ladies and gentlemen, millennials, by the way, is the 18 to 35-year-old age group. And out of that 4% that claim to have a biblical worldview, 59% do not believe that it is sin to have a homosexual relationship. They do not believe that drug use is wrong. They believe that dishonesty or lying is all right if it means protecting what you're wanting to accomplish.
My.
Christian pastors that teach and preach that Islam is a sister religion to Christianity, like Rick Warren, Saddleback Community Church in California, totally 100% wrong. In fact, one major theologian in America on a one-hour radio broadcast out of Houston, Texas, about 6 or 8 years ago, said that Rick Warren and Joel Osteen will send more people to a devil's hell than Satan ever dreamed possible. Hear that, ladies and gentlemen. It's because of false teaching, false preaching, false theological doctrinal belief that's coming out of the pulpits that's causing much of this today. Churches that are allowing homosexual pastors and homosexual members, churches that are embracing the LGBTQ agenda. With Dr. J.D. Greer, the chief head of the Southern Baptist Convention, says we need to embrace the LGBTQ crowd, bring them into the churches, and love them. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that theological belief. It is simply unbiblical. It is unholy. It is irrational, and we ought not to recognize it as being the potentiality of truth at all.
Amen.
Preaching is not easy.
You know, I have to wonder about that, Dr. Youngblood, because it's written so plainly in Scripture.
Yes.
Even a wayfarer and a fool,
yes,
don't have a reason to err.
That's right.
Right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says right here in verse number 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He said, "Be not deceived."
Yes.
That's a big problem.
Big problem.
A lot of people are deceived today by so many that don't know the word, those that are untrained, those that don't have wisdom, don't use godly wisdom especially.
Yes, that's right.
Those that don't have knowledge to be able to equip the body of Christ. And this is what we're talking about on the broadcast on today.
Absolutely.
They need to know. It's very important to have knowledge to pass along.
Yes.
Especially the elders to the next generation. We're not going to be here forever, and somebody's got to keep the church going.
Somebody's going to fill the shoes.
And the only way that you could keep this going is to have the proper knowledge coming from the Word of God to keep the basic foundation laid that the church can stand on. Because Amen. The scriptures say, no other foundation can be laid than the one that's been laid.
Amen.
And that is Jesus Christ. We have to build upon him on today. But it went on a little bit further and to say, he said, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Mm-hmm. That's the homosexual. Let's not sweeten this up.
That's right.
We want you to know the truth on today. This is coming straight from the scripture. We're not trying to belittle anybody. It's right here in the Word of God.
Absolutely. It's God's Word speaking.
Amen.
I use that as the no-fly list.
Amen.
You know, we talk about those that are on the no-fly list that can't fly into America, et cetera, et cetera. And when the rapture comes, it's I fly away. Those are on the no-fly list. They won't fly away.
Amen. Amen. But
it's
listed right here.
But true.
Amen. He said, nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
Yes.
You see, it's listed out so plainly here. It's impossible for you to make a mistake. He said, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Dr. Youngblood, if I fail in either one of those categories, I tell you what, I'd be running away from it fast as I can.
Yes.
Amen.
And as a result of that not being preached and taught, among other things, theologically, doctrinally speaking, the cause goes back to the pulpits. And it's because so many, well, let me illustrate it. A number of years ago, we had a young man that had enrolled in Bible college, and after less than a semester, he dropped out, came to midterm exams, and he dropped out.
Amen.
And his statement was, when they want better preaching, they'll have to publish better preaching books. He would simply take a pastor's outline that he'd read in some book on Saturday night, stand up on Sunday morning and regurgitate it, had no real depth of knowledge of the scripture himself.
Amen.
And it's something that must be understood, that we need solid preaching. Pastor Davis, you and I talked about prior to the broadcast, and I'll reiterate it for our listeners. You wouldn't get on a jumbo 777 plane and fly from here to California if you have a pilot that hadn't been trained. You would not go to a dentist to drill your tooth or pull your tooth if you had not been trained.
I certainly would.
You would not even take your dog to a veterinarian unless you knew that he was trained and qualified to do what's needed for that dog's health and safety.
Amen.
And yet, somehow, some way, ladies and gentlemen, we feel as though it is okay for a man to stand in the pulpit and say he's preaching and teaching the word. I am thankful. Listen very carefully. I'm thankful for those that are God called standing in the pulpit. Multitudes not having had the opportunity to go to school or to train or to refine their training. I understand that. I commend everyone that's been in that position for what he's doing. It's availability and not ability that God honors in the pulpits and in the classrooms in our living as a Christian.
Amen.
But given the opportunity, we have an opportunity today as the world has never seen, as America has never seen, the opportunity through technology for every pastor, every Christian to be trained in the Word of God. It could be a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, it could be a pastor, evangelist, those on the mission field that have a desire to study the Word and to know the Word better that's available through the Conservative Theological University training program for teaching and training preachers and teachers, missionaries, and deacons.
Amen.
But one of the things, Pastor Davis, that I want us to talk about for listeners to understand, preaching is not easy. There are a lot of folks that think that it's easy. It's not something that you just lends itself to laziness. You can't do it. Never will forget a number of years ago, I had a young man that rung my doorbell one Tuesday morning, and I knew him briefly. He was a young student, and he was pastoring and at the same time in college training, and it was on a Tuesday morning, and I usually, at that time, I was doing a daily radio broadcast, 7:15 a.m. and 10 o'clock a.m., and it was before my 10 o'clock broadcast, and so I went to the door and talked with him. He was panic-stricken. He said, I don't know what to preach next Sunday. I said, well, today's Tuesday. He said, yeah, but I can't find anything to preach. And I said,
wow.
You got a Bible? And he said, oh, yes, sir. And I'm talking about he was serious. I said, you got a Bible? And he said, yes, sir. I said, your Bible in the car? And he said, yes. I said, go get it. Bring it in. We'll take a minute. And I said, wherever you open it, now there's a message. And he didn't understand what I said. And so I said, just open it up. And he did. And we looked at a verse or two. And I then went back to the context, went back to who's speaking. Why is it being said? Who's it written to? And what is the message here? I said, right there's a message. I said, let's outline it. And he said, wow, thank you for that. He said, I don't know what to do. The truth being told, he was trying to just dig out something rather than getting in and studying and training for the proper preaching and teaching from the pulpit.
Amen.
He was in Bible college for about another month. He dropped out of pastoring, went back to driving a truck. Nothing wrong with driving a truck. There's a whole lot wrong with wanting to pastor and not being willing to study and to understand what the Scripture says.
Amen.
Too often pastors will just simply pluck a verse out of the historical contextual setting and make the text say something that is in conflict with the context. Hermeneutically speaking, we must seek to discover the text meaning as we study the text in context with the customs and the culture, and preaching has never been designed, ladies and gentlemen, to please the world, but to please God.
Amen.
And preach
Amen.
The word. This is what we must do. And it was Dr. Herbert Lockyer a number of years ago told me the advice he gave me was know the book, know this book, know the word. And that's what we need to understand and pass on, Pastor Davis, to the younger generation of pastors and preachers and teachers, is that they need to know the Word, study the Word, and to be able to be instant in season and out of season and rebuke and exhort, et cetera, through the Word of God.
Amen.
So what's
Amen.
The real problem, ladies and gentlemen? That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about theological biblical anemia. That is not having enough theological oxygen to do the job that needs to be done in preaching and teaching the Word of God from the pulpit. So what's the real problem? I believe it's that we're living in the last of the last days. Pastor Davis, take a moment and read for us 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Then we're going to take our top-of-the-hour news break and come back and discuss it. Read 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2.
It says here, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after 1 minute break, top of the hour news. We're talking about theological biblical anemia.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.